You can now watch the video version of this and all future episodes by going to our YouTube channel and on our website at myfamedexplained.com. My Famed Explained podcast, episode 35, Delaney Harder.
In that, what would have been that second semester, I ended up getting two of like the biggest opportunities of my career at that point, which was very bizarre that like they both came about at the same time. They were totally unrelated, but ended up being related because they both kind of fed into one another. One of them was touring with the New Age artist, Grammy-winning composer Kitaro, who is a genius and is incredible, and also with the jazz trumpet player Chris Bode.
Welcome to the My Famed Explained podcast, a podcast with the people and brands you know and the personal stories behind their fame. I'm your host, Larry Gilbert. On this episode, I talk to violinist and actor Delaney Harder. She has numerous credits to her resume, including Law & Order, SVU, Mozart in the Jungle, the Super Mario Brothers movie, and Dungeons & Dragons. She's also performed in a music video for Olivia Rodrigo and a Cadillac commercial with Labyrinth. She's earned a multitude of awards for her music over the years. Here's my conversation with Delaney Harder and her music and acting fame, Explained. Tell me a little bit about you, where you went to school, you know, what your childhood was like and you know, before music.
I don't remember anything before music because I started when I was 2.5, 3 years old. So I think my whole life has been defined by music. I started studying at the Betty Haig Academy in the suburbs of Chicago when I was 2.5, 3 years old. I stayed until I was 16. Then I went to boarding school at the Walnut Hill School for the Arts in Natick, Massachusetts, which totally changed my life. It's partnered with New England Conservatory. So it was a really incredible experience just to be immersed with and live amongst like some of the greatest artists of like my age from around the world who all have like a special interest in that. And then I went to Manus, the New School University, studied with Aaron Rosand. And then for my master's degree, I went to NYU and studied with Naoko Tanaka. I also studied Baroque violin during that time too, which was really fun.
Did you know that you always wanted to pursue then violin from the beginning? Or was it just like, you know, I'll try different instruments and then kind of gravitate towards that one?
I always played violin. My mom played violin. My brother played violin. My dad did not, but he was very supportive. Really. My parents both helped me practice. That was like the thing I was good at. I tried a lot of things growing up. Even something like tennis, the coach was like, this is not for her. So, you know, that was like the thing. Yeah, it was good.
So you knew then that music was going to be your pursuit. And then ultimately violin. I was going to ask you, like, so, you know, usually like growing up, like parents will always say, oh, you know, that's great to do, but, you know, learn something else that's an actual like job. Or were they supportive from even those early ages being like, hey, you know, Delaney, if you really want to do this, then, you know, we're going to support you even at, you know, in high school or college or what have you.
My parents were very supportive. I was always very serious about school and was always like, I always studied until like the morning, like even in middle school, like I did Kumon like from a very early age as well. And I was, took classes in Northwestern. Like I was really academic and everybody in my violin school was also extremely academic. And so I don't know, I always balanced both. And I actually applied and got into the Illinois Math and Science Academy, which was also a boarding school. And I visited and I just wasn't feeling it. So I was like, let me wait another year, go to public school. Then I applied to Walnut Hill. I visited and I was like, oh, wow, this is like Hogwarts, but for the arts.
Yeah.
So once my mom took me there, she was like, yep, I think. So. That was totally, they were always very supportive. And I also was, you know, an actor since I was little too, and I did acting and modeling. So being around other actors and theater people at Walnut Hill was also very helpful. Cause I also later you know, continued with that in my career. So that was just a really cool experience for me.
Yeah. Did you grow up in the Los Angeles area? Is that where you're from originally?
No, I'm from the suburbs of Chicago.
Oh, okay. All right. So you were born in Chicago, like grew up there, and then went to then Boston after that, and then New York. Right? Mm-hmm. So then eventually you ended up in Los Angeles. Was that after school? Or was that after traveling and what have you?
Yeah. So I ended up getting my master's degree from NYU in a year and a half, which worked out because in that, what would have been that second semester, I ended up getting two of like the biggest opportunities of my career at that point, which was very bizarre that like they both came about at the same time. They were totally unrelated, but ended up being related because they both kind of fed into one another. One of them was touring with the New Age artist, Grammy-winning composer Kitaro, who is genius and is incredible, and also with the jazz trumpet player Chris Bode.
Okay, and then did that then start your career at that
it
point?
Did.
Okay, so that was the transition from school to career. And then at what point did you get kind of like your big break where you were like, okay, this is really going to be like a cool career. This is it. Was that it? Or was it like some sort of like paying project, like on a production or something?
No, that was it. I mean, prior to that, while I was doing my master's, I got some cool opportunities. Like I got to be on Law and Order SVU playing the violin, like a little quartet. I did like a little thing in Mozart in the Jungle playing violin. I subbed with, American Symphony and American Ballet Theater. Those were all really cool opportunities. But in terms of making a name for myself and being a soloist, those two opportunities really helped prove myself individually rather than just me playing with other people, which I love doing, by the way. But I think that really helped push me in a good direction.
And is that what you were doing full time then at that point, you know, with some productions on the side, like you were talking about the TV show, or was it kind of a balance of the two?
Those were just little things that happened to me during my master's degree, but the touring started at the same time, and those were pretty full time. And during that time, I was told also that I should move to Los Angeles to pursue film and television. And then I auditioned for that, and that ended up being something else I started doing. So, yeah.
Was there any hesitancy to move across the country? I mean, obviously you move from Chicago to Boston to New York, all kind of big. Well, Chicago's Midwest, but it feels more like an East Coast city. Los Angeles felt very different. So was this like new for you, where you were like, I don't know what to expect from Los Angeles? I mean, I know that's, you know, it's Hollywood, it's movies, it's television, but it's also everything that you probably always wanted.
Well, I knew that I had made some of the right contacts, and I had the support of my boyfriend, now fiance, the people who were doing similar sorts of jobs also lived in Los Angeles, because in New York, it's very seasonal, and if you're doing things on the road, you know that you're going to come back and be able to do things here. Whereas in New York, some of those things they happened less, and they happened at certain times of the year. So say you're on the road and then you come back, it's like, I don't know what's going on, you know? So So it's a more consistent thing. So just looking at like the success of people that were doing similar things as me, I was like, oh, it's working out for them in LA. And that's what people were telling me. At first I was hesitant. I was like, I'm doing fine. And then I realized, because that was also me who had just graduated from school, and I was not, you know, I didn't really know. So yeah. It was the right choice.
Okay. All right. In the end, it was the right choice. And obviously, you know, where you are today, it all worked out in the end, right? So you touch a little bit upon this, working on like the production of movies and the scoring side of it. Obviously, like, you know, I think anyone can imagine like being an actor, actress in a movie, scenes are shot and whatnot. But what's the process like for that, for the scoring? Is it done after everything's shot and then you add the music in? Are you already working on creative ideas before, you know, some scenes are shot? Do you have a lot of input in the creative side of it? Like how does that part work of it? Because I feel like in the movie industry, that's something that, you know, one, you don't think of, and two, you know, the process for it.
That's a really fascinating process. I've had the privilege of working with some of the greatest composers, and just seeing what they are able to do with a score and seeing how much it affects a film. You know, the movie's done first and the post-production involves the score. And when you do, you work on a score on a scoring stage, you're able to see the film as you're playing it because, you know, you're doing it from certain spots and they compose to the certain parts of the film that you're doing. And sometimes they'll give it funny little names based on like the scene that you're doing. And then they'll explain what's going on in the scene and they'll tell you a lot to what's going on in that scene. And then to have that influence the way that you play it or, you know, whatever keys it's in, whatever technique you're using. We are not really in charge of what we play. You know, the composers will write it, but there have been a few times which have been really cool where we're able to improvise as like a group, which is pretty amazing. Like, I think composer, we were directed on certain ways to play so that, you know, in like a scary movie or like a certain part where like escalates and it's like, you know,
I don't right, know that. Yeah. You kind of have the feel of the vibe of the film to be able to know what to play, right?
Right. So he will direct us to play in a certain way or do a certain technique as a group, but it won't necessarily be written down. And that was a really cool experience because, like, what other time in your life would you have the opportunity to, like, sort of do that? I don't know. It's just, like, a really cool experience. Obviously, like, everything he does is very well planned out and written and, like, edited and, you know, but I just remember that being like a really magical sort of experience. That's not really, I guess, what you're saying, like writing, because that's what the composer's for. But like when the composer directs you to improvise, I thought that was like a cool thing. Oh, what I was going to say about it being after the movie is created is like, you know, audiences don't have the experience of seeing something without the music, and you realize the influence and the creativity and the genius of these composers by seeing the movie. I mean, you're not hearing the dialogue, but just like seeing a movie that's so action-packed but not hearing anything with it, you're like, oh wow, that has such a huge influence on how you see the story and how you view the acting and all these things. So it was really instrumental, no pun intended, in how I watched films and TV shows.
So it's interesting. So you're watching the film. It's basically like a silent film. You're seeing the images.
Yeah.
You're recording the music over it. It would almost be like watching it with just the dialogue and no music. I think to even a viewer, it would be like, well, this is strange. You know, it's kind of doesn't like move along as well as it would, you know, with music and all the elements that are included in usually a movie. Well, that's pretty interesting. Go ahead.
Sorry. Just when you're doing it, you're like, how did these people come up? Like it fits so well. And you're just like, how did these people come up with this? And then secondly, I'm so lucky to like get to be one of the people that gets to do this. You know what I mean? To bring their like genius to life. So that's what I had to say about that.
Yeah, no. And I'm sure like, you know, once it's all done and you actually get to see the whole film, you're like, you know, I hope they appreciate my work as much as I appreciate theirs. And it, you know, becomes a success. And it's probably neat to see like it all come together and know that you have had that impact on the film.
It's very cool.
So how long does then, like, say a feature length film take? Is it like several months to record all of this? Or is it a fairly quick process?
It's very quick. You'll usually get the music either day of or the night before or a few nights before. And then they all work so quickly. And then you'll record it, and usually it'll be like a 2-week process, 2-3 weeks. So, depending on how long the movie is or like the television show. Yeah.
No. So are you then like scrambling like the night before to practice this, or you just feel confident enough that you can go in and be like, you know, I've done this enough. I feel comfortable with it that I could, you know, perform this.
I definitely, if I'm being honest, there are
I would too. I would too. I would always do it in school, right? Jam study the day, night before the test, you know, or write the paper the night before, pull an all-nighter. We've all been there and done that.
Show up so good. But like, no, I mean, obviously if they send it to me and like I have a chance to look at it, like I'm going to look at it as much as I can so that like I get there and, you know, you're literally, it's like being in the room. It's like Mozart composing something and you get there and you're like, oh wow. Like it's Mozart. And he's like watching me do his thing, you know? So these like Brian Tyler, Lauren Balfe, like, you know, these people that I've gotten to work with, it's like, it's unbelievable. So obviously you want to show up and like, yeah, if you can, you know, play and perform their music like as best as you possibly can, you know?
Right. I hear you. So you also appeared in the Olivia Rodrigo video for All I Want. And I want to ask you about that. Are you then playing music with her, or are those tracks like recorded separately as well, then inserted in the video?
Those tracks were recorded separately. My job on that video, that was so much fun. And that was, I mean, first of all, I knew this girl was going to be a huge star. As soon as I saw this thing, like this was right before she blew up, and this was when she was just on Disney Channel. I was like, first of all, not only is this girl stunning, but she's also incredibly talented. She was playing piano, she was playing guitar, she wrote the song. I mean, how old was she at the time? Like, she was like a teenager. I was like, this is insane. Like, who is this?
Yeah, she blew up pretty quickly.
Yeah. And so this was like right before that. And I just remember meeting her and shaking her hand and being like, okay, this is like, I know for a fact that I'm going to look back on this and be like, that was so cool. You know? So I know you didn't ask me that, but I just had to say that.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And so for that, I was asked to, because it was already written, I was asked to arrange the music for a quartet. So kind of composing, but not composing, because nobody was really hearing us, but just make it, you know, sound and look like what was on the track that already existed. So that's what I was doing. And then in video, I was like playing one of the parts I wrote.
So that almost seems like different than anything else you've done, right? Do you still play live and perform and travel and that sort of thing? And do you enjoy it? I mean, obviously everything I think we've kind of touched on so far has been different, scoring for movies or, you know, even you acting or, you know, the video, those sorts of things, and playing live.
I do have some projects coming up. I do a lot of different sorts of things. In terms of acting, I am in a movie that's coming out that was written, directed, and starring Isabel Hagen, who's a comedian. She's so funny. She's pretty big in the industry. And this movie is very special because we shot it. I mean, I shot it for 2 weeks. I think it was a 3-week long shoot last fall. It should be done editing soon. You can read a Deadline article about it. There's some really amazing comedians also in it and actors. But this movie in particular was really cool because unlike a lot of classical music movies that are not, first of all, not written by, I mean, I love all of them, but they're not, you know, coming from the perspective of somebody who has lived that life. And she went to Juilliard, she's a violist, like this is all real, you know? So I think this is sort of semi-autobiographical thing that she wrote, but it's not, I mean, it's not true. It's just like based on her life. But this is, it's also based on a string quartet. I'm the second violinist in the string quartet and it's live capture. So all of our performances and our acting is real. So it was all performed on site. Whereas like, you know, in something like, you know, other movies or whatever, it'll be recorded prior, or the people won't really be playing, or they'll have to be trained to make it look like they're playing. No, we were all actually playing and performing. So that was a really exciting thing to prepare for, because not only did I have to practice all the music and prepare for it, but also, like, for example, in the rehearsal scenes, we were like actually rehearsing, and like there were lines for that, but like, I don't want to get it too much into it, but
yeah,
it was just, it was the most incredible experience of my life. And I'm so excited for it to come out and for people to see it.
All right. Yeah. I can't wait to see it. Is it going to be, do you know where it's going to be available right now, or?
No.
Maybe you can't talk about it yet, you know, because I know sometimes actors and actresses will be like, I'm working on something, but I can't tell you about it yet.
No, I don't know anything like that yet, but I'm just excited for it to come out. And I think it was an amazing feat that she was able to accomplish. And it was the most fun, artistically fulfilling experience, I mean, I've had ever, because, you know, as an actor and a violinist, when else would I get to do both of those things and have it actually be like those things, not just like fake, you know?
Right. Oh, exactly. And one thing I wanted to ask about too, this is kind of both, was the Cadillac commercial, doing that, because you actually had a pretty predominant part in that commercial, and you were playing music. So what was that experience like? And was it strange to, like, you know, because I guess if you see a film, you know you're going to be in it, but with a commercial, it just randomly pops up right on TV. So what was that like?
That was crazy. I didn't realize what a big deal it was. First of all, it was directed by Dave Myers, who's like the biggest music video director like in the world. I think he also just did the J-Lo film video. Don't quote me on that, but I just saw his name associated with that. So He just does everything. And so to be directed by him was like so cool. Also, it was featuring Labyrinth, which I also didn't know, but I was cast for the principal violin solo part. Like, I knew that, but I didn't know anything else. And so I showed up and I see Labyrinth. I see this whole orchestra. I
was like, so everyone's what? There?
Like, oh, okay. What else? So that was just a very cool experience. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Labyrinth also. So on top of it being like this incredible commercial featuring, or this incredible commercial about Cadillac, which is a great car, you know, just being in the presence of Labyrinth and playing and like playing his song, it was just really cool. I loved it.
Yeah, definitely. See, what do you do to unwind when you're not playing music or anything like that? I know you just mentioned that you recently got engaged, and your future father-in-law, we actually had on one of the episodes, 15. So I think that's maybe how you showed up in one of my feeds. I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I did recognize you in the Cadillac commercial. So I was like, yeah, I got to have you on. So,
thank you.
So, and I know you just said you were recently in Vegas. It was Super Bowl week. So I don't know if you were there for that, but yeah, what do you like to do for, you know, outside of music or performance, just to like unwind and life in general?
I do spend a lot of time with Phil and Ben and their whole family. I love them and my family. And but you know, I'm very lucky in the fact that I feel like I do, even though I work really hard, I do love what I do. And some people play music for a hobby, and I feel like it does feel like work, but also I don't ever feel like, unless I'm doing something like very intense, I never feel like, oh, I have to take like a vacation right now. Like, you know what I mean?
Right,
I feel
like it's something you love doing.
Yeah. So, yeah. What do I do to unwind? I don't know. I guess just go out to dinner and spend time with my fiance or his family or my family, or watch a movie, watch a TV show.
Did you have any, like, who were some of, like, your inspirations growing up as far as, like, music goes? And I guess even acting.
Can I actually talk about one thing? Speaking of acting and music,
sure,
I want to plug
sure.
something.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Okay. Thank you. I just realized, since we were on that topic, I have a single that I'm releasing with a music video that I self-produced. The song is called All In. You heard it here first, everybody. And so I produced my own music video and composed and helped produce my own song. That project in particular is interesting because I realized after I did, or while, I guess while I was doing the music video, that it was almost like, you know how we were saying that you do the movie first, then you do the score. Mm-hmm. This was almost like I made the song with Will Healy, who's an amazing composer, pianist, and also my friend Matthew Campo, who's an incredible pianist, producer, composer. I'm so lucky with who I've gotten to work with and collaborate with. So after I did that, I had the director come over, Katie Meyer, come over, and she talked to me about what the song was about and all this stuff, and was able to concoct different situations where that we would be filming in relation to the song, sort of like as a metaphor, or interesting visuals that we were inspired by. So we didn't want to make it like a usual instrumental music video. We wanted to make it more like a hip hop video because the song is sort of like classical hip hop. So we were inspired by hip hop music videos. And in that sense, it's almost like we did the opposite. So like I made the score, I made the movie based on the score, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. No, it makes sense.
So it's almost like a short film instead of a music video. And she loves the way that music, I've gotten to be in a bunch of music videos, and to be able to make my own was really fun. And just that whole experience of being creative and the people I got to work with, and Jeremy Stewart, Katie, Ben was in it. I had my friend Jesse acting it. Like, just, it was a really incredible experience. I'm really excited for people to see it. And just creatively, I feel like we were able to create something very original. And, so I'm excited about it.
And it was, it's hip hop, you say, or that was just the inspiration?
That's the inspiration. It's a hip hop classical,
okay,
sort of instrumental piece.
All right. Because I would say you don't expect like violin to be part of hip hop, but I guess, you know, you can marry the two, right?
Right. So that's what I did. I mean, there's no words to it. So that's why we were like,
okay,
wanting to create something that you could see the story I was trying to tell in the music, to create a visual, so that people can decide for themselves what, you know, what it's about.
Okay. Makes sense. So then who are some of your artists in your, like, say, Spotify playlist, that you're listening to now or that you like listening to?
Oh my gosh. Beyonce, Rihanna, Hillary Hahn, Itzhak Perlman. I got to study with one of my big inspirations, Aaron Rosand, who passed away, but he was called the last of the Romantics. I think he was already late 80s, 90s when I studied with him. Mm-hmm. He would smoke a cigar during the lesson. Like, he was very old fashioned.
Classic, yeah, totally like, classic.
Yeah, yeah. And he always said that that's why his sound was so good, is Cuban cigars. I never did that. I haven't tried that. He could be right.
You never tried the cigar thing? Cigar?
No, that might be the key to his sound, and maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe that was the big no, but he's a legend. I mean, he's taught, you know, Ray Chen, Stephanie Jong. I mean, his student list is Victor Lee, like, oh my God, so many of the greatest violinists of the past, I don't know how many years, like they studied with him. So, you know, I was very lucky that I was able to work with him. And he's also somebody that I grew up admiring and listening to. So, yeah.
Okay. And touching on that, like, what advice would you give to somebody who would want to follow in your footsteps and say, wow, I really like everything she's done. Like, I find myself that I could do that. You know, I like the violin or I like playing music, and I would love to get into like movies and performances and those sorts of things.
I would say keep moving forward. Don't let negativity bring you down. If you are beating going to the beat of your own drum. Is that what I'm
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
another musical phrase, going to the beat of your own drum, then, you know, people might not always like that, but sometimes that's a good sign because then they might be scared because you're sort of an individual. So I would say, you know, I'm lucky because I love playing music with people, but I also love, you know, playing solo. So like the fact that I get to do both of those things is crazy to me. And you know, I love a lot of genres of music, and the fact that I get to play all those genres is amazing. So I would say just like take as many opportunities as you can, keep going forward. And I don't, yeah, I just didn't say no to a lot of things because I was like, what if something happens? And something did happen a lot, you know, with those things. And it led to either things for my career or personal inspiration or people that I met at those things that led me to do things later with them, you know. So you really never know. And I would just say, keep your eyes and ears open at all times and just appreciate everything as it comes and just work as hard as you can.
And when you perform, you kind of mentioned this, playing solo, is that different than performing with others? Like, because I guess I would imagine you have to practice with the others, but maybe the focus isn't on you, where solo, everything's on you. You know, when you have more control, like, is there a certain set of like way you prepare for that? Or like a certain different like nervousness for performing solo than with others?
A few things about that. So it's definitely different. I have a funny story about that, but also in terms of the way you play, yes, definitely. Like if I'm playing like a jazzy or like a contemporary sort of solo and it's like sliding all over the place, I'm not going to go into like the film studio and just like start like sliding all over the place in the score. Unless you're like, hey, slide all over the place. Like, you know, you're not going to be taking like liberties with time. You're going to be like watching the conductor and watching your section leader and like making sure, you know, that's all about blending. And so that's also really cool because learning to listen differently is something that applies both in music and in life. So that's something that I find very interesting is just the different ways that you have to adjust. A funny story about the difference between those things and that I think is embarrassing, but I find funny personally, is when I started touring and, you know, you're playing very, you know, you play very loudly, you're mic'd up, you're doing like really as much as you can, and you're trying to just like show off and all these things. And I, at the same time, I was subbing still with American Ballet Theatre. And I remember playing, you know, I was really excited to be there and play. And I remember one of the sections that I knew very well, I was playing, I guess, I didn't realize, very loudly and like a solo. And one of my friends was like, hey, you might want to blend with the section.
Oh, man.
Like, thank you for telling me, because I was just so, I guess I was, you know, it never really occurred to me. I was just like, I'm doing my best, but like sometimes doing your best is like, you know, you have to know your, it's like acting, like know your situation, like right. You have to know your situation. So do not play the ballet music in the opera pit at the Met like you are playing on the stage with the jazz music. Playing it the wrong style, but it was just like,
yeah
It was the wrong approach, and I adjusted accordingly. So thank you to my kind friend who made me aware of that, and I made sure to never do that again.
Kind of like the saying goes, know your audience, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. You're like, hey, what are you doing?
That's awesome. Is there any like venue, concert hall that you haven't played that would be like a dream of yours? And then also like another musician to collaborate on that you'd love to work with?
I would say, I mean, there's so many musicians that I would absolutely love to collaborate with. I mean, I would love to play country music. And that is something that I really haven't done yet, but I have fiddled. Like I grew up playing fiddle music and I would love to do that. But I mean, I've gotten to play with Adele and Beyonce, like those two are like my, talk about idols growing up. I didn't even say that I listened to her. Obviously I listened to Adele, but you know, like just continuing the sorts of things that I've been able to do would be incredible. And yeah, so I would say in a concert hall, I think if I got to, and also classical music, if I would love to continue playing classical music. If I could perform at like the Berlin Philharmonic Hall, like that would be so cool. Or like do a solo at Carnegie Hall. Like I've performed at Carnegie Hall, but like, or Disney Hall. I've actually never performed at Disney Hall. I know you said you probably wanted me to list one, but I'm just.
Oh, no, that's fine. Yeah. I mean, they're all unique in their own way, right?
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, performing solo, right? So like you're the star of the show, one venue,
yeah.
Carnegie Hall, Disney Hall. All right, there we go.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good.
That was not really your question, but I said it anyway.
No, I like it. I like it. I like the answer. Well, Delaney, thanks so much for doing this. I appreciate it. And best of luck to you and your career. And I look forward to continuing to follow you wherever it leads you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored that you asked me. Thank you.
That was violinist and actor Delaney Harder. To check out more on Delaney, you can follow her on Instagram at Delaney Harder. Download and follow the My Famed Explained podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And go to Apple Podcasts, rate us, and leave us a review. You can also watch the video version of this and all future episodes by going to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at My Famed Explained. Talk to us. You can tell us what you think. You can email the show at myfamedexplained@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm Larry Gilbert, and this is the My Famed Explained podcast at myfamedexplained.com.